T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Yeah, Chicago sports for sure.
Afternoons on The Score.
Our guest is a great Lance Lynn. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming up here to the booth. What do you think of our view?
It's a good view. Like I was just saying in between breaks here, game looks easy from up here. So maybe I can watch a few innings and learn some things.
I mean, you got to learn from Gordon over there.
Yeah, I've already said it's really easy once you leave the field to tell people what they should be doing when it's going a million miles per hour.
Oh, yeah, especially when you're in the box or on the mound. Everything seems to be a little quicker, but when you're sitting in a chair watching on TV, it's quite slow.
How much do you miss being out there?
Oh, man, it's miserable not being out there. That's all you play the game to compete, and not to have that opportunity, not to be out there trying to help the team win is always a tough thing to swallow.
When you're done playing, do you have this in your future?
I'm sure I'll dabble in a little bit, but, you know, I can't give too much. I like to go and enjoy my life after playing for a long time.
Are you saying Gordon's not enjoying his life?
No, he is.
Oh, I'm over here, like, all dejected.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
Lance Lynn spent some time with Gordon Beckham and Jason Benetti in the booth on NBC Sports Chicago last night. We'll talk to Tracy McGrady coming up in 30 minutes. He believes that Michael Jordan nixed a trade for him to come here.
Lance Lynn?
No, Tracy McGrady,
oh,
we're going to talk to
McGrady
in 30
this.
Minutes.
Okay.
Michael Jordan really liked Dane Dunning, to be honest.
Everyone knows
Danny,
that.
Danny, I'm with you on that one. That was not a semantics issue.
Syntax.
It was
syntax.
Not that either.
I'm sorry, syntax. I don't think that was a syntax issue. He said Tracy McGrady after he said Lance Lynn.
Yeah, but it was his classic but syntax still. Thing where there were implied commas there, so I thought he was going back to Lance Lynn. He was going semicolon. I have a hard time hearing the semicolon. That's me.
Famously. I had a hard time last segment hearing the Wade Miley thing that Tanny played about throwing the candy bars around the studio or whatever the hell it was. So if you want to throw something at me.
No desire.
Go right ahead.
I mean, well, look. That's not true. I've had a desire to throw some at you for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'll keep my guard up. I'm ready to go.
It's good to know.
Yeah, I'm ready. What do you got over
yeah, there? Yeah, yeah. Why? Did you see Wade Miley make that catch?
I saw it. It was pretty good.
But he was on the mic. That's the thing.
I'm on a mic.
He was mic'd. Okay, and so I need you on a mic.
Like reflux.
Yeah, his name's Danny P with a mic in his hand.
Yeah, that's always. Right. See, I always forget that. I always forget.
It's easy to forget.
Just look at those guys, because Wade Miley was looking ahead at the game.
I have to ask about your Skechers.
How you doing? How you doing, Wizzy? Yeah, Jan gives me a hard time about the Skechers. Calls me old all the time for wearing them. I like the comfort. They're comfortable, and attaboy, Sam.
Attaboy.
It's a good night for mic'd up players.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. But no. We are going to talk to Tracy McGrady at 4:30.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff to get into, including some tie-ins to the Bulls.
All right, I'm putting my Nutri-Grain bar back.
You might throw a Nutri-Grain bar at me.
It's possible.
I may or may not catch it. But, yes, good night for mic'd up players. Lance Lynn in the booth.
That's the right guy.
But in the booth.
It's awesome.
Not in the dugout with a headset on. He is in there interacting, making eye contact with Benetti and Gordon Beckham.
There's no reason that shouldn't happen.
I'm a big bastard. That's how I know.
We've been talking about this since spring training. We've talked about it. I mean, honestly, since scorehouse of COVID 2020, when the national broadcast mic'd up Brian and Rizzo and they had all of those guys on there.
The scorehouse of COVID. Like, that's not an appealing that house started. To go to. Like, they shouldn't do that for the next one.
I'd rather go to a scorehouse of COVID than do another one with Bernstein.
Yeah. Aww. Aww. That was a poorly chosen scorehouse. Of all the scorehouses they could have picked,
that's what it was.
Of COVID. Guys, come on in. Come on in. Step in. And you have COVID.
That's what it was. That was scorehouse of COVID. Maybe that's not the best way to get sponsors for the next one.
I just pictured the giant container of like Costco brand praline pecans that Mac had brought.
Yes.
It's delicious.
Everyone sharing with all the germs going around.
Oh, yeah. Sharing food and joints. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Protein waffle mix that Mac required.
He traveled with his cast iron.
Oh, that's commitment right there.
That was the craziest thing.
I get it.
Yeah. I guess I'm talking to the wrong audience for that. But regardless.
I've seen your cast iron.
We've been problems. We've been talking about ways for baseball to improve the broadcast with player access and mic'd up players on the field, dugout, whatever. They brought Lance Lynn to the booth, and it was awesome. And we learned something. We laughed. We got personality, the whole thing. This is just two players, same era, but different accomplishments. Lance Lynn just giving it to Gordon Beckham last night on NBC Sports Chicago.
Look, you guys actually, I was looking at this. You guys were drafted in the same draft.
Oh, yeah. We go back to SEC days.
How far back?
Yeah, what, 6, 7, and 8 in SEC?
Yeah, you got drafted in 8. We both got drafted in 8. I think you were second round pick.
Or, there it is right there.
Supplemental. What'd you, 8? Yeah.
We did it in the SEC, baby.
Oh, yeah. He's got me in the books in the SEC.
You know what?
Big leagues, it didn't go well.
It did not.
Is that right?
You know, the funniest thing about this is somebody told me the other day that I hit a home run off of you in the SEC. And I don't remember it.
It was in Georgia.
Okay.
I remember.
Oh, you do remember.
He remembers, but I didn't. And all I remember is just him basically really, really getting me in the big leagues and abort mission.
A couple years
right
later
there.
In the big leagues, I didn't forget.
Yeah.
There was a word he was about to use for what you did to him in the big leagues that was not arable.
Yeah, it was not.
And that was exactly what I was thinking when he was in the box.
Yeah. He was like, he got me in the – yeah, well, a lot of people got me in the big leagues.
Our crew did a little digging on Gordon versus Lance.
Uh-oh.
You can have that college homer if that's what that looks like.
I think I'll take the college homer because if I don't, I'm 0-3. You know, I at least got to take it.
I love how you guys remember all this stuff. Like, Harrison to first. Where do you file this in your head?
I didn't remember what he did. I just know that it didn't feel good. Like, I got in the in the box against him, and I was just like, I don't feel comfortable. Like I did when he walked in, I got kind of nervous. I started talking to you, and I'm like, hey, there's a grizzly bear here.
Yeah.
Like, don't eat me.
Gordo got real tight when you walked in the door.
I saw that. He started moving to the side of the wall a little bit.
It's funny, though. It's probably the exact same way I looked like when I was stepping in the box. He was like, oh, I got this guy.
He's stuck back in the back. He wants no part of it.
I was like the kid from Rookie in the Year. He's in the, you know, in the back. He swings after the ball, hits the mitt, and they already call the pitch. Seen that?
Yeah, Henry Rowengardner.
Yeah.
One of the great classic movies of all time. What do you got on Johnny Cueto yesterday?
Oh, Johnny doing what Johnny does. I think I got a hit off of him, though.
Is that right?
Well, so did I. Yeah. I actually did do well off him, or better. I actually got a hit.
He was your first one, right?
That's
first
it.
One?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I got him.
Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, and as I was saying earlier, it probably would have gone out at any park.
So you definitely went boat and center.
Left.
Left, okay.
It was jam shot here.
Do you want to see it? Here we got it.
This is,
here you go.
Look at this little.
He's like 120 pounds.
No, that's how I remember. He's always been just a little fellow.
Lance, I think I am, and it's true.
Oh, my God. Lance Lynn is freaking ruthless.
I feel like Lance Lynn knows more about Gordon Beckham than Gordon Beckham knows about Gordon Beckham.
How did he know that Beckham's first homer was at the Great American Ballpark?
Off Johnny Cueto.
How did he know that?
Yeah. That's incredible.
He might have been fed some information.
That's great.
But, my God, that is
fun. That's good TV.
That is very, very good TV. And Lance Lynn is the right guy. There was lots of stuff. I want to hear this swipe you took at Katz and Giolito.
So if you were doing an Ethan Katz impersonation,
ooh-wee.
What would have to be in it?
It would involve him
grabbing Giolito and holding him by the hand and making sure he goes everywhere on time. That's number one. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but it's not false. So that's the truth of the matter. Oh, come on, man. Lucas. Were you going to be on time today? No, Ethan does a great job. It's been awesome working with him, but it is funny to see those two interact.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
So funny.
So it's just, it's an interesting piece of access, right? Like when we had Lance Lynn on, he's very comfortable and he shares, but he's with another big leaguer and he's on the home team broadcast and he's just hanging out. Like he's busting balls. Like you're getting a real glimpse into his personality, but he also
grinding his ass off getting out there. I loved it.
But he also gives you some insight, right? Like here's Lance Lynn talking with Benetti and Beckham about basically his pitching philosophy and demeanor on the mound.
How do you get your competitiveness out when you're not doing this?
Golfy. Really? Right. I'm going through a lot of golf clubs while I'm doing it. No, you try to do anything you can to compete, whether it's golfing or maybe a little cornhole or whatever I can, you know, compete at. It happens a lot, so it makes it fun to do anything, really. But I like to win.
I know you do.
What is the handicap at? Just so I'm getting ready.
It depends on what we're gambling on.
Okay.
Yeah.
It changes. I love it.
You know, we're about 8.5.
Nice.
Yeah.
When did the competitiveness start for you, Lance?
Oh, man, I have a brother that's 12 years older than me, so it kind of started from the get-go. I watched him grow up playing sports, and then it just kind of clicked over. I was raised by pretty much my dad and my older brother, and it was competing at everything, and I was young, so I just had to learn how to do it.
You're so tough with one pitch. Why is that? I mean, talk through that.
Well, I mean, the easy way to say it is it's just attack at all times. I've learned that most hitters, they don't like to be attacked, especially if you throw balls. They get comfortable the longer they're in the box. The more they see you, the better they feel off you. So I'm going to attack you, and I'm going to make you feel me in. And if you do something with it, then I'll tip my cap to you. But I'm not just going to throw something out over, especially soft, so you can get out, catch it out front, maybe do some damage. So I'm going to make you earn it by getting the head out to it. And if you don't, I'm going to get some knuckles with it.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing for me, like you saying that, is when I was going good, I'd step in that box, like, ready to hit. And when I was going bad, I'm like, maybe I should see a pitch, you know. And then all of a sudden it's 0-1, you foul a pitch back, and it's 0-2. So you're behind. So what you're saying, it's kind of funny for anybody out there that's like trying to understand the game and they're young. I mean, just listen to what he just said. It's just being aggressive, you know, just being confident and aggressive and do what you do, basically.
You know your plan, go execute it and leave it all out there. That's the best thing you do.
Well, you do it well, man. It's fun to watch. It really is.
Yeah. Big thing is you look back after a game and realize, hey, that I'm nibbled or I did this and that. Can't look yourself in the mirror and say I left it all out there. So I was told that a long time ago by my dad. If you don't leave it all out there, you didn't do what you were supposed to do for your team that day.
That's good advice for anybody.
That's awesome.
It's really instructive, isn't it? It reminds me of our conversation with David Robertson of the Cubs a couple of weeks ago when he said that the light bulb just went on. I think that's when you ask him when the light clicked, right? But it was...
Yeah, which a light does click. I maintain that.
But just go out, throw your best stuff that you have over the plate, and good luck, everybody. And it seems a simple lesson, but it's exactly the lesson that most of these guys have to learn. And what's interesting about that conversation is that it's Beckham the hitter admitting that he was not at his best when he would get up inside his own head and didn't just go out there aggressive and ready to go.
And I wonder if it's changed with just like the current, like I know Robertson said it's been a while for him, but it's so hard to hit this pitching. Like those numbers, like I'm not a Joe Sheehan newsletter subscriber or anything like that. But
you follow Dan Bernstein.
Yeah, well, and I follow Sheehan on Twitter.
And you listen to Dan's show, so you just hear him read the whole thing.
Right, exactly. So I basically...
I think Bernstein had like a 7 retweet string yesterday of Joe Sheehan.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah. I just follow Sheehan. But the point is like it's like sharing Netflix passwords with someone else. Like, yeah I basically, I steal Joe Sheehan's newsletter by listening to the Dan Bernstein show. But the point is,
should do that,
you know,
for
how win expectancy matrices work?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No. Nobody should, nerd.
But those numbers are crazy. Like the league-wide on-base percentage for this year is what it was in 1904 and 1905.
Right, but it doesn't necessarily change the dynamic in terms of pitches per plate appearance, like whether you should be going up there and being aggressive. Like, that's what I wonder about.
But I'm just saying, even from a pitcher's standpoint, like, their stuff is just so damn good, there's no reason to nibble now. Velocity is better, so attack. It's hard to hit.
Yeah, well, so a lot of things have coalesced to absolutely lead to that. Your stuff is so good, so just go ahead and attack. You don't have to nibble. Also, you'll be out of here in a flash. So go ahead and give me the absolute best thing you have because the next reliever's
right.
coming in.
You're not going eight innings. The defense knows exactly where to stand. Not always for the White Sox, but you know, in general, like you're going to max out.
That one should hurt you guys because it's true.
That's why I don't think they're mad at me.
That one should hurt. I don't think they're mad at you.
What I'm saying. I think
there's
I got
nothing Danny could say about the Sox that will make me more upset than I already am at them at times. So,
how angry are you? I feel like we haven't gotten.
It's a sweet spot for Danny. Then he could say anything he wants.
Yeah, it's frustrating to watch them at this point right now. But the reason part of my brain knows it's still early. It's not even 60 games yet. It's just you know that the talent is there. That's the most frustrating baseball team to watch when the talent is there and they're not being deployed properly. And no one the pitch. Staff's been fine, but for the most part, the entire roster is just not rising up to their own expectations that they had already set in previous seasons. That's what's frustrating watching them when you know it's there and you just need the right person to pull it out and you don't think that person's around.
It's not even 40 games.
Wait, this is why I'm not like it's irate so about them, but just watching them in game two last night was just a chore.
Like, Tanny is the adult in the room.
And he's that frustrated.
He's that frustrated, but he's the adult in the room with a lot of things. Like, my filter, is this appropriate? Is this inappropriate? Will I get us fired for saying this? And also, like, to keep my standards set on the White Sox. That being said, I am the toddler pissed that he didn't get enough pancakes when it comes to the White Sox. I am legitimately angry. So, Gavin Sheets is in your lineup to be a left-handed power bat that can hit a right-handed fastball. And to watch him look at a fastball last night and swing through a fastball in the ninth inning is incredibly maddening.
He's thinking too much.
Sucks like the rest of them.
Follow Gordon Beckham's advice.
Did he just have home runs in three straight
games?
Doesn't matter.
What have you done for me lately? You're only as good as your last at bat.
Oh, shame. But the best.
That's not how baseball works.
The best in baseball hit 350. The best ever.
Speaks. This is my narrative. Okay? I'm allowed to be angry in the moment, and
you guys
are allowed to tell me I'm wrong.
You absolutely are allowed to be angry.
And you have the horrible send by Super Joe last night. Where it's like, even scoring a run is just so laborious. It's like, can we just get a run?
Can we talk about the aggressive, ridiculous send by Super Joe? I know that the last time he sent Josh Harrison on a short sacrifice fly to Andrew Benintendi, he bounced it like seven times and ended up rolling in. And that's what Benetti referenced it.
Yeah.
He knew it. He's like, sometimes he rolls it in there. But still, Luis Robert was next up. Luis Robert is stepping to the plate with a bat. What
He's
are you
one of the
doing?
Good ones.
He's one of the only good ones right now. You had no Abreu and no Tim Anderson in your lineup. Whether you're taking the bat out of Luis Robert's hands, even risking that possibility on that send, it was god-awful. Sorry about
that. A lot of anger, man, but I will say it is a product of expectations.
Yeah.
Like, the team is supposed to be better. They're 500. They're only 2.5 games out. They've been ravaged by injuries. Everyone still thinks they're going to win the division and make the playoffs, and you're furious. It's a good place to be. Like,
no.
It is.
No, it's not.
The 10,000 foot view would say that it is.
I can't get up that high.
Well, you
edibles.
How high do you have to be to look at the division? How high do you have to be to look at the backs of the baseball cards of that batch of hitters?
That's not my goal. My goal is not to win the worst division in baseball. My goal as a White Sox fan is to win the World Series.
Well, on that goal, I think you're screwed.
I think so, too.
I think you're very, very screwed, yeah. And that's unfortunate. And I hear you. I absolutely hear you. I'm trying, and you want to get in and then pray for great pitching and the luck of the smaller sample. That's what you want.
Go ahead.
No, just there. This is year three of the window being open.
Go ahead, Danny.
Go ahead, Speaks. And
go ahead, Danny.
The play on the field is just getting worse. Like they played better under Rick Renteria at this point. Especially if you look at the last, you know, since the All-Star break last year, like this is now what it's supposed to look like in year three of the contention window being open.
But that can happen, man. Like
trust me, I know. I've watched baseball my whole life.
It can close fast.
That's why I'm not holding out hope. Like it's still on the table that they could win the World Series. It's like you have to. They're not the most talented team right now. They're not playing the most crisp brand of baseball. But baseball is a game that's a game where you can win the World Series by getting hot over a couple week span. And this team has that in them. So that's why I'm not going to say they won't win the World Series in May. I don't think they will. But you can't look at them that way. Like these seasons go, there's so much of a roller coaster ride here. You know, and I've watched too much baseball in my life to say nothing is impossible, you know.
Tanny, when the Sox have a real bad loss or just a frustrating inning, you can go to Odie and say, "Odie, I need a hug right now. Like things aren't going well for my baseball team."
No, that's not me. After,
right,
after,
but you
after
have the
a
option.
Bad loss, that's not me.
You have the option. If I go to Willie at home and say, "Willie, the White Sox just had a very embarrassing loss, and I don't feel very good about this right now. You think I'm getting anything back?"
Nothing.
But the petting, exactly. The petting like feels good.
Petting, exactly. Put the dog on your lap.
Snuggling, a little
instant.
Snuggle.
Yeah.
No, man. Just be happy for what you have, okay? be happy.
Yeah, that got very real and very lonely.
Are you saying basically you only have this baseball team and the thing that you have is letting you down?
Exactly. We talk often about me being alone every night. Couple that with losses all the time.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's the thing. It's not just you. That's the thing that gets difficult. There's some people who wait all day for the game at night.
Yes. Yeah, we do, yeah. And I've got a lot of great things in my life, but I feel like, oh, it could be better if the Sox just didn't irritate the hell out of me every night. And when I don't ask for love and affection after a bad loss. I just resume my very loud cleaning of the dishes and loading the dishwasher.
Shane,
very loud coffee making, all that stuff.
Shane, from now on, either loudly go load Tanny's dishwasher,
okay,
or text us. Text the group, and we will offer you a text hug of some kind.
Appreciate that. No, you won't.
I think we might.
I probably will.
Hey, I have one quick question, by the way. Do we know who's mic'd up for Sunday Night Baseball? Upcoming here?
He's on the play-by-play call next week, right? Mic'd up?
Yeah, mic'd up. I think he's in play.
Sorry, that was stupid.
Okay.
We love mic'd
up. It's the Sox-Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball, right?
My bad.
And Harrison Bader ended up being mic'd up. They had Justin Turner and Harrison Bader the other night for Dodgers-Cardinals, and then one of them hands it off. They make a suggestion for next week. That's how they're doing it, and I missed that. It's probably a Yankee, but I don't know.
I bet it's Aaron Judge. The home run Terry's been on. I bet it's Aaron Judge.
I feel like it's the players have a choice is the way they've been doing it. Somebody probably knows.
We'll take a
look.
We'll find it.
Thank you.
I vote Nestor Cortez. The guy's fun.
It's probably a Yankee, right? Games in New York.
It's probably a Yankee.
It's probably a Yankee. Should be Tim Anderson.
That'd be good TV. That'd be fun TV.
Yeah. Liam Hendricks from the bullpen just cursing on ESPN, making everyone uncomfortable. Let's sign up for that. Trace McGrady was legitimately one of my favorite non-Bulls of my adolescent period. Could have been a Bull. Great storyteller. Tons of what-ifs from his career. Averaged 32 a game at 23 years old when teams only average 95 points per game. Right now they average 110 points per game. So when you think about the offensive force that was Trace McGrady, truly one of the best we've ever seen. He joins us next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now let's make the Western Conference All-Star. Making his seventh appearance from the Houston Rockets, it's the return of the Mac. Guard Tracy McGrady.
Here comes McGrady. Oh,
you can see it coming. The crowd was on his feet before the dunk was made.
Bang like T-Mac, ski mask, air it out. Gotta kill witnesses because three bears sticking out.
Here comes McGrady. Oh, he just sucked the gravity right out of the building. What a play by T-Mac.
McGrady on the run. McGrady down the lane. He dunked him with the right hand. Oh, my.
Went right over the top of Cornell David. What a 20-year-old performance, huh?
What you waiting for?
Yo, I'm gonna trace him McGrady. That take you right to a hole.
He's got Armstrong. He's got Jarachek. He takes it.
Tracy McGrady has not only put the Magic in front, but he's tied his career high of 44.
Oh! Tracy McGrady, and he looks over at Tyrese Thomas, and he said, block that.
It's Matt, baby. Drop top, Navy Mercedes. I'm number one like P.E. or Tracy McGrady.
Here's McGrady for three. McGrady, foul is picked up. It's a contested four-point play. Tracy McGrady from downtown. McGrady over Bowen for three.
Yes!
McGrady for the win.
Yes!
13 points in 33 seconds.
Last possession here, Rockets to win the game.
To take a 2-0 lead. Oh, Tracy McGrady with 2.2 to play.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
So excited to be joined by one of my favorite non-Bulls ever, Tracy McGrady, with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's with us on behalf of the Ones Basketball League, which is coming to Chicago's Hope Academy Athletic Center May 21st and 22nd. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. T-Mac, it's a thrill, man. How you doing?
Listen, man, I'm listen. That was probably the greatest intro of all time right there. Like, I even heard my guy Method Man give me a shout out on a song, which I've never heard. So ha! Y'all did that right. I appreciate that.
Oh, listen, man, we appreciate you making the time. That's Chris Tannehill, our sound guy, Tanny. How have you never heard that Method Man shouted you out before? How have you never heard that?
I've never heard that song. Please. I got to get what was the name of that one?
Tanny,
you gotta give me the name of that.
Yeah, we're pulling it up right now.
We're digging it out. He always tries to make people feel at home and feel welcome. So I guess mission accomplished. I mean, Jay-Z got you twice though, Tracy. Right? Jay-Z got you twice.
Yeah, for sure, and that's my fave right there. But never heard the Method Man ones.
Yeah, I think that was called "Say What" from the Tikal prequel album. So that was like later Method Man. Okay. So I can see how you may have missed that one, but yeah, we'll have to send you that one.
Yeah, nice. Well, how y'all doing, man? Good to be on your show.
Yeah, no, we can't think of any rappers who ever name dropped us. I can't think of any. Danny, you?
But what a damn life! Like that, like that Method Man shouted you out and you didn't even know it. Like you've done some things. That's incredible.
Right. No, that's love right there. Definitely heard my favorite rapper of all time shout me out a few times to Jay-Z, but Method Man is definitely on that list as well. And to hear that brought a smile to my face. So I appreciate that. Y'all put that together nicely.
That's very cool. How does it work? Does Jay-Z just shout you out in the song and then you hear it when you're listening? Does he give you a heads up ahead of time? How does that work?
No, just exactly how you just said it. You know, he makes the song, and next thing you know, I hear it on the airwaves.
That must have been a real mind bleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I felt like I also heard a chuckle when I introduced you as one of my favorite non-Bulls ever. Like, you're cool with that qualifier, right? Because I got to be loyal to the Bulls, but you were almost a damn Bull multiple times. Like, I feel like I've been teased my entire life that you could have been wearing the black and red.
Jerry Krause tried his best to get me to be in a Bulls uniform on several different occasions. It just never worked out.
What's the one that you think of first? I mean, we know the one that we think of first because it was legendary, but then there's the others that have come out. So tell us about Jerry trying to get you.
Yeah, well, the legendary one was trying to trade for a 18-year-old high school kid for Scottie Pippen, which was, you know, to me, in itself, bizarre. I remember before draft, the night of the draft, I get a call at 12 o'clock at night, and it's my agent, and he tells me to get dressed. I have to go and take a physical. You know, they have a clinic that we're going to, and we drove about 45 minutes outside of Charlotte, and they take me in the back of this clinic. I get a physical. And, you know, he tells me it's for the Bulls. I may be traded for Scottie Pippen on draft night. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it was just such a surreal feeling that I possibly could have been a freaking Bull and teaming up with Michael Jordan. But at the time, I thought MJ, when they did nix the trade, I thought it was MJ that did that. But I got close to a reliable source and said it was Jerry Reinsdorf that did it.
It's funny. Jerry Reinsdorf came on our radio station after that story made the rounds, and he was like, no, it wasn't MJ, it was him. Like, he felt the need to go first person. Like, and Jerry Reinsdorf does not do interviews anymore.
right.
Like, it was bizarre. So, like, have you ever talked to MJ about that?
No, never.
Interesting.
Nope. I never even talked to Scotty about it. We worked with ESPN together. I just never brought it up.
And then the free agent recruitment.
See, that's the thing. When you said the legendary time, I thought you were for us, because we knew about it, was when Benny the Bull and everybody, there was a small band playing Sweet Home Chicago. There's the Lovables cheerleaders. Yeah. When everybody meets you at the airport. Was there any part of you at that point? So that's a few years after the draft then, Tracy. Is there any part of you at that point that thought, this is ridiculous? This is over the top.
No, I didn't think it was ridiculous. I actually was very appreciative that he went, you know, Chicago Bulls went above and beyond of trying to recruit me. I mean, I loved every bit of it. It's just they were recruiting against Orlando, which is where I grew up. You understand? And that's a tough recruitment to go over and to steal me away from that. I was so fixated on going to play at home in Orlando because I grew up watching Nick Anderson, Penny and Shaq. Like, as a high school kid, I drove by the arena every summer. Like, that's where I wanted to play ball, and to have that opportunity to play there, and then it presented itself at that time in 2000, I couldn't pass that up. So that was the only reason, you know, why I chose to go home and not sign with the Bulls.
You know, so you still felt what it was like to be courted, even knowing. We're dealing with that now. We got Zach LaVine, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent for the very first time. And he wants that feeling, Tracy. You can tell. I don't know whether he's going to leave because he could get one more year and a lot more money here. But he deserves to have that feeling, doesn't he, of like having everybody come after him?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Zach has been a loyal player. You want to feel, you know, that you have other interests and have somebody pour into you and show their interest in you as a basketball player. I mean, he's such a great basketball player that I'm sure he'll get, you know, several of those offers. I'm hoping he will stay in Chicago because I like that team that they put together with him and DeMar DeRozan. It was just unfortunate that Lonzo got hurt, but I really love that team.
What was the – so we know about Benny the Bull at the airport. You know, you said they pulled out all the stops. Like, can you take us behind the scenes of what else Chicago did to try to get you?
Yeah, so I get to my hotel room, and they pop in a tape, and I'm sitting down, and it's a personal message from Oprah. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, Oprah is talking to me and recruiting me. She's a part of this whole thing. So I thought that was pretty cool to have Oprah, you know, send me a personal message and recruiting me for the Bulls. And then to go to the Cubs game, you know, saying take me out to the ball game. You know, that's legendary. That's, you know, always remember that. Just growing up and being a baseball fan and just seeing Harry Caray and, you know, those moments. So that was pretty cool. And sitting in the dugout, man, talking to Ernie Banks, you know, never forget that moment. So, you know, those two right there really stuck out. And I will always remember those moments right there.
Jay-Z, Method Man, Oprah, this life, man. that is a crazy life. Tracy McGrady with us on behalf of the Ones Basketball League. So it's a one-on-one tournament at Chicago's Hope Academy Athletic Center, May 21st and 22nd. This is the third of seven cities, and you guys are basically trying to figure out and find the best one-on-one hooper in the country. Is that the goal here?
Trying to find out who's the best one-on-one basketball player in the country. I just think there's a lot of untapped talent out here that needs this type of platform. There's a lot of underground one-on-one leagues. I'm talking about some real hoopers, like guys that actually can, you know, you line your elite one-on-one players that are in the NBA with these guys, and it'll be a problem because these guys are so good. I mean, such, you know, great talent that is out here. I want to give these guys a platform to showcase their skills. And why not? Basketball is so universal. You're playing basketball everywhere, and it's a game that you could play one-on-one basketball. So I think, you know, in the past, no one has really created a model that is sustainable for, you know, a non-basketball fan to sit and watch, or even a basketball fan to watch, and it's a good product. I think we come up with a model that is really good on the eyes, and you can sit and enjoy one-on-one basketball for 2.5 hours. But when you think about, you know, the UFC platform and those guys before they got on the UFC platform, who were they? They, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were respectful in whatever they were doing before that. But now they're on this platform and they're superstars now. That's what we're trying to do. It's just the same model, you know, of what we have. To tell these guys stories. I mean, they have great personalities, and hopefully we can have, you know, create some Conor McGregors and, you know, some of these crazy guys that, you know, fans, you know, gravitate towards and in terms of how they carry themselves and the wild stuff they do. But yeah, the last two events that we had, Houston, Atlanta, I mean, I've been overly whammed with just, you know, how impressive these guys have been in the competition. I mean, I think we over exceeded our expectations on these. So I'm looking forward to Chicago because I know Chicago got some real hoopers out there.
Hope Academy Athletic Center on May 21st, 22nd, the Ones Basketball League. Tracy McGrady is an entrepreneur doing a lot of things post-playing. So it sounds like you got the structure well thought out here. I mean, I used to play one-on-one with my brother. I don't want to bore you, Tracy, but I would take him inside and do a little drop step with the left foot, you know, throw that butt into him, you know, give him a little dream shake if I needed to. We all play one-on-one. We all grew up playing one-on-one. Who did you play one-on-one with during your NBA career? Like teammates? You ever play one-on-one with Vince? Young Tracy, young Vince, after a practice. I'm betting that happened.
No. No, it never happened. But what I did do though, when I got drafted, my rookie year, we had a player on our team by the name of Doug Christie, who was like an elite defender in the NBA. And I took a challenge to play this guy every single day, because I know if I could figure him out, you know, on with me having my offensive skills, if I could figure him out on how to get shots off in a variety of ways, then I was going to, you know, improve my skill set offensively. So that's, I took it upon myself, and that's what we did every single day. And it sharpened my skills. It sharpened my mental. And, you know, that was my thing, man, my rookie year. That's all I did my rookie year.
And so by your sixth year in the league, you're only 23 years old. You lead the league in scoring, and you're averaging 32 a night. But what I don't think people, and so I think people know that about you, and I think that they know, you know, two-time scoring champion and all of that. But what I think gets lost in the context of that accomplishment is teams were only averaging 95 a night then, man. Like, you averaged 32 in a terrible offensive era, like a historically bad offensive era of NBA basketball. So my question is, how the hell were you able to do that?
I put a lot of work in, guys. I mean, honestly, put a lot of work in. I studied film. I studied my opponents. You know, and it's funny that you say that, because I had this conversation with some of my guys, like, the score could be 75, 76, and, like, I would have 40 points.
Right.
35 or 40 points. Like, it was crazy of some of those scores back then. You're absolutely right. The offensively, like, it was probably one of the worst eras, but defensively, it was a challenge. Like, you had to, you know, you had to be a dynamic player to be able to sustain that night in and night out against some of those defenses, because – we play with two traditional bigs. It's not like it is today where you have all five guys on the court can shoot, or you got four guys that can shoot the ball. It was, you maybe had one in a possible back then. And that's why the paint was so, it was so closed in, and it was tough on an offensive player to get to the cup.
So if you could average 32 in that era, what are you averaging today?
I would put myself at 38 to 40 points.
So,
because
that,
you got to think,
yeah,
that's 32 points, and probably only average 5 threes a game.
Well, that's today. You are 42 years old, though, right, Tracy? So, I mean, so you're saying you'd score 38 at age 42, right?
No. I could get you 10 to 12 points. All I got to do is run 3-point line to 3-point line. I could do that now.
Yeah, right?
Right. But that will sound, you know, like hyperbolic. But I really don't think it is. And I think, like, if, like, era adjusted, man, like, you made the Hall of Fame, but you're still underrated. And because no one was doing offensively what you were doing in the early 2000s. Nobody. No one did it.
No. I mean, I had to, though, in order for my team just to make the playoffs, I had to put up numbers like that. You got to think, I was, you know, planning to play with Grant Hill in Orlando, but we all know he had his ankle injury. So,
right,
you know, back then you didn't have 3 and 4 stars on one team. You had maybe one or two, and that was it. It was a different league back then. So we was kind of, you know, had our hands tied behind our back with Grant not being in our lineup. It was tough.
Man, we had so much fun watching you and Yao together and dreaming about you and Yao Ming. If both healthy and at your best come a postseason, like what could possibly happen? I mean, do you ever think about that? Is that the best opportunity you ever had to get a title when you and Yao were rolling?
Yeah, I think the year that my knee blew out, we could have contended for a championship, which was probably the best team that I would have been on my entire career, which is, I think it was one year when we got Ron Artest to join our team in Houston. And that was the year that I tried to come back from knee surgery, and I was just damaged goods. I was not the player that I was prior to that. And then, you know, my championship aspiration, my dreams were shattered because I was never healthy after that. And it was just, you know, we signed Ron Artest a little bit too late, but that would have been a championship contending team had I been healthy that year.
Do you have fun playing with Yao? It seemed like he was such a trip. And when you traveled with him, there's got to be a moment, Tracy, where you're like, oh my God, Yao Ming, this is a global sensation. Like that was a different level of fame, wasn't it, for Yao Ming?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's larger than life when you talk about, you know, having a whole freaking country of China continent on your back. I mean, you know, it was a sight to see. You know, he's a gentle giant, but the way he just handled having all that pressure on his shoulders was amazing to watch. I remember going to China with him back in 2004. It was the first China games that the NBA had over there, and we played the Sacramento Kings. And just to see, you know, the attention that he got from, you know, the Chinese fan base was, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And I remember a regular season game. We were playing in Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee had drafted another Chinese kid. And just a regular season game, they gave us the numbers after that. It was like, I think over 250 million people watched that game. Like, that's the type of impact he had on the league. We're talking about more people watching a regular season NBA game than a Super Bowl. Like, that's what Yao brought to the game. So I couldn't believe that.
That is ridiculous. Do you think, like, your career is incredible? I mean, you made the Hall of Fame, an all-timer by any accounts. But do you think about whether it's the injuries or, like, that situation with Yao or with Grant, like, the trade to the Bulls? I know there was this report that you could have been traded to the Lakers also, and you could have been with Kobe and Shaq. Like, do you have regrets or what ifs, or like, do you ever think about what could have been if the fork in the road, just like luck, things out of your control, would have went a different way?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think about that stuff. There's a lot of what ifs, you know, pertaining to my career. Like, what if I would have stayed in Toronto with Vince and that team? Right.
Yeah.
Like, if I would have stayed there, who knows what would have happened. But again, you know, no one knew that Grant was going to be out my entire career in Orlando. Like, no one knew that. I was super excited. I think everybody was excited. Like, T-Mac and Grant teamed up, and what I became as a player, and to have a healthy Grant Hill, we're talking in the Eastern Cup, we're talking playing for a championship. I mean, I took the number one seeded team to 7 games without Grant. Right. So, I think about it all the time, for sure.
It's an interesting spot. We were thinking earlier, too, the dunk contest with you and Vince. Like, it did seem like, even if you never played one-on-one, the highlights that you guys were able to be a part of just must have been, like, what we saw publicly was amazing, but you must have seen some pretty incredible things behind closed doors.
I've seen a lot of crazy things behind closed doors. I mean, even in game with this guy, that's why I didn't want to get into that damn slam dunk contest, because why am I getting into something that I know I'm not going to place first? Like, I know I'm not going to place first. You know what I'm saying? Like, what part of me is going to I'm allowing myself to enter into a contest where I know I can't win? That's not me. that's not me. That's not my personality and my mentality. But he begged me so freaking much and so long. Come on, cuz, every single day, man, you got to get in it, bro. You got to get in it. You have to every day. And finally, I just bit the bullet. I was like, all right, man, I'll get in. Like, because I know what you can do. I'm your cousin. I'm your teammate. I see you doing dunks every day that I can only dream of doing. I'm a pretty athletic guy, but when it comes to creative dunking, I'm not on your level. I don't want to get in this dunk contest and place second or third. So no, it was pretty cool, man. I knew what the outcome was going to be. As you see from the first dunk, it was like, oh hell, good luck who's coming after him. But it was a great time though.
T-Mac, our texters, please have him back during the season. One of your best guests ever. Every single answer from Tracy, thoughtful and substantive. This is outstanding. Our audience is absolutely loving it. Good luck with the Ones Basketball League. Genuinely meant it, man. One of my favorite non-Bulls ever. You actually signed a jersey for me back in Orlando back in the day. Could not have been cooler when I was just a teenager. Meant a lot to me back then. Would love to have you on the show whenever. And good luck with the OBL, man. Seriously.
Guys, I appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me on your platform. Y'all have a good day.
You too, Tracy.
Absolutely. You as well. That's Tracy McGrady, truly one of the best offensive players the NBA has ever seen. Very cool. Loved that. He was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. There's a lot of stuff from his career, a lot of interactions, a lot of near misses, and a lot of memorable moments we could still get to. Next hour. Let's get him next hour, too, all right?
Yeah, we can react. We've had a busy day. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.